Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast with Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Using an interview format, Pastor Bob will introduce you to men and women whose ministries are impacting this world with the gospel, and will also provide commentary and insight on end-time prophetic events we now see happening in the news. Now here is Pastor Robert Thibodeau.
Hello, everyone, everywhere. This is Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast today. You know, everyone has tests and trials and some tribulations in their life. It's just a part of this life. And Christians have a better grasp of understanding that there is a life to come, one that we can really only get a glimpse of from time to time while on this side of eternity. But sometimes even Christians will falter a bit when under extreme pressure. And whether it's sickness, the loss of a loved one, a child, you know, fighting a terminal illness, the loss of a business or a job, all of these things can test our faith and sometimes even distract us enough to lose sight of our faith. Well, in his book, A Spoonful of Courage for the Sick and Suffering, Dr. Charles Page shares some examples of how some of his patients taught him a thing or two about dealing with adversity. Sometimes it may have just been a smile while in the midst of pain. Sometimes it was just a word. Sometimes they're just sharing what their life has been like. But in his book, he shares about how it all relates back to faith. Faith in God. Faith in Jesus. Faith in our fellow man. Faith in what comes next. Dr. Page tells folks that he's the best guy to see on the worst day of their life. Praise God. I love that. Dr. Page is a surgeon, a storyteller, author of several books for both adults and children. He and his wife live in Nacogdoches, Texas, and he's taken time from his rounds this morning to join us on the broadcast. Praise God. Help me welcome to the program, Dr. Charles Page. Doctor, thank you for joining us today.
Hey, Pastor Bob. It's an honor to be on the show with you.
Amen. Now, the first question I always start with is this. Other than that short bio I just read, tell us in your own words, who is Dr. Charles Page?
Well, I'm just Chuck, and you can call me Chuck.
Hey,
you know, man. I've been married for 25 years to Joanna, and, you know, I'll tell you, I tell everybody, I might be the best guy to see on the worst day of your life, but my wife is the best person to see on the best person to see any day of your life. And so I'm just a grateful husband and a father of five kids trying to figure out how to navigate, you know, through this crazy life and, you know, this changing healthcare environment that we're in. And, man, I'm a work in progress. God's still chiseling away on me in a lot of areas and just trying to figure out, probably like everybody, you know, what am I here for? You know, what's my purpose? And so, I'm just a work in progress.
Amen. Now, one thing I left out of that introduction, because I wanted to make a comment on it here, is that you describe yourself as a coffee addict. And I just wanted to say, me too. At least a pot and a half, maybe two pots a day. Amen.
I mean, yes, sir.
You know, my wife keeps saying, you drink too much coffee. I said, well, would you rather me eat a bowl of mashed potatoes every time instead of a cup of coffee?
Got one in my hand right now, Bob.
I think in our pre before we started the recording, I think you see me even take a couple sips out of my coffee cup. Yeah, I learned that, you know, military guy, cavalry, you know, there are many times when, and we'll talk about this in the interview about lack of sleep, you know, I still pride myself. One time I was able to go 78 hours with no sleep. Mission requirements and all that.
But wow.
But I was, if there was an IV set up, it had been filled with coffee because I was down in probably two or three cups every hour. You know? Anyway, let's get started with your book because I got several things I want to talk about today. But your book, oh, I was telling you, it is just a great read. Folks, I could not put this down once I started reading it. I read it almost all the way through in one sitting, and that's unusual for me. The stories are heart-moving. Each has a simple, profound thought at the end. This book is an easy read, and as I said, it just motivates you to turn the page to see what comes next. I mean, Doc, what made you write this book, and why in this format?
Well, there's a lot to that. First of all, I had an experience in my life where my office burned down, and that happened 3 years ago.
Mm.
And one of the things I noticed, I'm a surgeon in a small town, so people, you know, kind of news spread pretty quickly, but I was still on call and I still had to work that weekend. And when I went to to really, you know, to round, people began to tell me their stories. You know, and I got the pat on the back, you know, Romans 8:28, God works out all things for his good, right, for his glory, yeah, you know, and all that. And you know, that was comforting. But the thing that really helped me and motivated me to keep going was the stories people told. I had a guy that said, "Hey, Doc, you're not going to believe this, but I also had a fire. And in my fire, I couldn't get my invalid wife out. She was paralyzed. Mm. And I had to watch that building burn down with her inside." You know, when I heard his story, I realized, man, I had nothing to complain about. I had no reason to throw a pity party. And all as I began to hear people's stories, I began to realize and get adjust my attitude. And that's one of the benefits, you know, of working in healthcare, is that we get to see people at their worst, and we realize, man, it could always be worse. And it really kind of moves us to an attitude of thankfulness, you know, and gratitude, realizing that, like you said, we're never going to understand the meaning of why things happen on this side of eternity. We're just never going to understand that.
Yeah.
The scriptures, you know, even Job, you know, God never gave Job an answer.
That's true.
So anyway, that was one of the things, you know, and of course, teaching in church, I teach the senior adults. And hey, these folks, I learned so much from them. I mean, it's an honor to be able to teach with them on Sunday night. You know, they're the old school folks that, you know, Sunday night, we're going to be there. And so, you know, I got to be ready. And what I've realized in teaching them is that, you know, we don't need sometimes information. I mean, we do need information, but what we need more than that is inspiration.
Amen.
Yeah. Nothing like a story to really connect with people in a way, in kind of a heartfelt way, that lesson, that those scriptures really begin to sink into their life.
Yeah.
And so that's kind of another thing. And then I just started listening to my patients, you know, and how do you process these things? You know, I mean, sometimes things happen in our lives, and as a physician, I face this every day. How do we process this? And so, in a sense, I was journaling a lot of these stories and trying to figure out, okay, what is the spiritual lesson that I need to learn from their example? Yeah. So it was a way to help me process too.
Amen. Yeah, you know, and that I had to learn how to deal as a cop. I had to learn how to deal with, you know, the notification calls. Yeah. And everyone is unique, but yet they follow almost the same format, you know, the denial, the anger, then the crying and all that stuff. And, you know, then I was also a chaplain with our department. So then I would not have to be as an officer, I would take the chaplain with me, and I was there more or less to protect the chaplain from the anger side of things. Right.
Yes, sir.
But, you know, then as a chaplain, I had an officer go with me to do the same thing. And even though I was making the notifications as an officer, I realized as a chaplain that, you know, to actually tell them, and there's no easy way of doing it. So I just learned you just come right out and say it. You know, "I'm sorry. Are you John Smith? Is your wife Mary Smith? I'm here to say that there was a accident out on the highway, and they did everything they could for her, but Mary didn't make it," type thing, right? And just, you know, don't say, "Well, you know, she's gone on to a better place." You know, no, don't dress it up. Hit it so they take the full force, because if they can deal with that, then everything else can. Yeah. And then I learned as a chaplain, now my job is to listen. And that's what I got out of your book, was you would listen. You know, even the people who did not die, but, you know, they're facing illnesses and all that, you just listen. And like I said, folks, you got to get this book, A Spoonful of Courage, because it is awesome. I couldn't put it down, literally. I mean, that is not an exaggeration. But how did you transition yourself as a doctor to be able to do those notifications? Because that's, to me, that was the hardest part out of the job.
Well, yeah, and it's the same as a physician. I have to do the same thing sometimes in the hospital, and that's the most challenging thing. In fact, hospice chaplains and hospital chaplains, and, you know, I've got a cousin who's also a chaplain for a police force. Mm-hmm. I think that's one of the hardest jobs. Giving bad news is just tough. Yeah. First of all, it's tough on you emotionally, you know, because it hurts, you know.
Oh, yeah,
Yeah, you know, so as a physician, though, I mean, I have to do, you know, that, give the bad news, you know, all the time. You know, "I'm sorry, man, you got cancer."
Yeah.
you know, and like I had to do this yesterday, which was, it was a Sunday morning. I got called out of Sunday school. I have a patient, had ovarian cancer for 16 years. And she's trying to stay alive long enough to see her kids graduate from high school. You know, she's in her 40s, and it's tragic, you know, and, and, you know, she came in yesterday, and, you know, it's pretty obvious she's going into renal failure, and her organs are shutting down, and she's not ready to quit.
Yeah.
How do you convey that to people in a way that, you know, sinks in, you know, when they're not, ready to quit, you know? And like you said, there's a lot of denial. There's a lot of anger. There's a whole gamut of emotions. I think what you said was very good. You know, we show up, we shut up, and we serve.
Yeah.
You know,
that's all you can do.
Yeah. And, you know, we just have to realize that our presence means more than anything. You know, what's the old saying? People don't care how much you know till they know how much you care.
Amen. Yeah.
And I, you know, and so as a physician or a hospice chaplain or a pastor, man, it's just tough. But fortunately, God gives us the grace that we need in the times and the opportunities that we just draw on His grace. And,
yep, that's right. And
sometimes it's stumbling forward.
Amen. Yeah. And I learned, you know, as a police officer, you know, that the chaplain's job, you know, nobody wanted to be the one that had, you know, there were times when there were no chaplains available, you know, 10:30 Sunday morning, you know, type thing, you know, and it's okay, well, you're going to have to go make the notification yourself, you know, and it was that first one I had to do like that I realized, wow, you know, this chaplain's job is really hard. You know, everybody think, oh, you know, you go in there, you know, but, you know, we're with the people for a good, at least an hour, sometimes two. You know, because the chaplain's not going to leave. You know, once they tell it, they say, is there someone I can call for you and have them come over, you know, type thing. And then you wait for them. It might be 45 minutes for them to drive from wherever they're at, you know. So we just stay there until someone's there that now we can go ahead and allow them to grieve with someone supporting them, you know.
Yeah. And, man, I've been on the other side of that. I had a doctor friend whose wife committed suicide. She dropped her kids off at our house, and she went out in the country and shot herself in the head.
Oh,
and let me tell you, that was the toughest moment being on the other side. And I'll tell you, that police officer and that chaplain that came, man, they made such a significant difference. I mean, there's nothing that you can say that can
nothing
can change that, you know.
Yep, exactly.
But just their presence.
Yeah.
I mean, just their presence makes such a difference.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. Well, let's get off the bad news part, because one story I found interesting, this is so funny when I read it, it was so amusing, was the one of the rancher who kept giving himself electric shock therapy all because he didn't trust doctors.
Well, you know,
tell us about that story.
Well, you know, Pastor Bob, we're crazy down here in Texas. You know, all kinds of things happen. There's this old rancher, and he was probably in his 80s, and, you know, he was kind of cantankerous. Just as I'm kind of realizing as I get older, I get a little bit more cantankerous and stubborn. But like I said, God's still chipping away on me. But this old rancher didn't want to go to the doctor. He was feeling bad, and, you know, his wife encouraged him to go to the doctor. He says, I'm not going. Them old doctors are snake oil salesmen or whatever. So he went out to the pen to feed his cows, and his, you know, kind of like him, his old, you know, his corral had kind of seen better days. The boards were falling off, so the old man just put an electric wire around the corral, and he put a feed stack up on his shoulder and tripped and fell against the wire and shocked him and, you know, threw him to the ground. So the guy, after the old rancher got up, you know, he said, kind of realized he felt a little better, you know. That was kind of funny. And fed his cows, went back on in the house, and a couple of days later, he started feeling bad again. And, you know, once again, his daily routine, went out to feed the cows, and you know, it happened again. He fell against that fence. It shocked him, you know. And this time, the old rancher kind of realized he was on to something, even though it was a little sore from falling. He felt better. He felt stronger. So the old rancher took the wire and put it out up into his kitchen. He ran the electric wire through his house, and every morning he'd get up and have his cup of coffee, and he touched that wire. You know, he called it his shock therapy, you know. And so, you know, finally the guy got so sick that he had to go to the hospital, and the cardiologist looked at his EKG, and he was having these, you know, AFib and supraventricular tachycardias, and what the old rancher been doing has been, when he touched that wire, it sent a pulse of electricity and shocked his heart, you know. And you know, that's kind of dangerous, by the way.
Oh, yeah. Don't do it. We do not recommend this as therapy.
Yeah. So anyway, but, you know, we all kind of sometimes have our own remedies that we try to try. And, you know, don't we all? I mean, we all try to fix things on our own. When all along the great physician is there, you know, and he's got the answer, and we just need to have the humility to come to him in the first place and learn from him.
Yeah, I know there are some preachers that I know that, you know, they're like, you know, if you have faith, you really don't need to go to the doctor. Well, I said, well, just as there are people who are called, like I'm called to do what I do here with the radio station and the podcast, there are people called to fix cars. Lord knows, one of the scariest things my family sees is me with a screwdriver. Right? Like, no, get that away from them. You know?
Well, you know, Bob, in answer to that, when we think about the root of our faith, I mean, there's some people that go to the doctor and just trust in the doctor.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, so the root of our faith is that when we go to the doctor, we have to believe that God is working in the life of the doctor, giving him wisdom and insight to do things. And, you know, so there are a lot of people that just think, I mean, they don't initially come to God realizing that going to the doctor is just part of trusting God. Yep. You know, and so the first thing is to first come to the Lord and ask the Lord to guide you to the right physician.
Yep.
Give the physicians, you know, the knowledge and the insight that they need. And I think as you go through that process, you realize that takes faith. I mean, God can heal through a natural means.
Oh yeah.
Just as much as you can through a supernatural
means. Exactly. Yeah. And that's what I was trying to say was, you know, I've come to know that, especially after, you know, my situation, which I don't need to recover because everybody knows the story that's been listening to the podcast, but you know, 32 different medical procedures over a course of 7 years, right? You know, I come to learn that I have to trust in God that his calling is on the doctor.
Yeah.
You know, that doctor is called to that profession for a reason, and that's to treat the body that we have on this earth. And God takes care of the glorified body we're going to receive in the future. But this one here still has its aches and pains and, you know, the maladies that inflict it. And God has anointed people such as yourself to treat these bodies here, not so we can live forever, but so that we can accomplish the purpose he has placed us on this earth for. I'm a firm believer when that purpose is accomplished, it's time, you know, like Apostle Paul said, hey, I've finished my race, you know, and that's just how I look at it. And that's why I tell people when I say, well, I don't want to go to the doctor. Hey, that doctor is anointed to treat this condition.
That's awesome, Bob. Let me just add to that. You know, for the Christian, you never know the influence that you may have on the doctor in your sickness. Oh, and that's part of what these stories are about.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I came in the office this morning. I realized I had a sack of pecans. And I had a lady that, you know, influenced me, I mean, in such a way. I can never thank her enough. She died of metastatic breast cancer. But, you know, she came in the office and, you know, she would go down and pick pecans on the Angelina River and put them in sacks. And that was her time of fellowship with God. And she would bring these sacks and give them to people. And she would come to the office and give me a sack of pecans. You know, I'm from Texas. I love pecans. And she'd bring me a sack of pecans. She found out that my mother was also dying of lung cancer. My mother never smoked.
Wow.
And, you know, here it was, I could fix everybody else, but I couldn't fix my own mother. And I was dealing with that emotionally and spiritually. And she would come in and bring me these sacks of pecans. And just, you know, the conversation was never about her and her cancer. Mm-hmm. Here she was dying of metastatic breast cancer. And she was thinking about somebody that she didn't even know.
That
blows my mind. But I can't tell you what an effect that made upon my life. You know, just that person not looking inward, but looking upward and outward and beginning to see, okay, how can I use this crisis that I'm going through, you know, to influence somebody else for God's kingdom. Man, that just, and now her kids bring me a sack of pecans every year, you know, I mean, it's just such an encouragement for me.
Yeah. Amen. You know, one story that I found shocking was the one that you call the malingerer. You know, I could not fathom, I'll let you tell the story, but I couldn't fathom how someone would intentionally do harm to themselves in that kind of manner. Fill us in on that, what the outcome was.
Well, this was another old cowboy that came into the office with bowel juice coming out of his incision. And he'd had 12 previous surgeries. He'd seen multiple doctors and wanted me to fix it. And, you know, after 12 surgeries, you kind of become a little suspicious. I went through all the workup and actually found that he had a medical reason for another surgery. And we did this long workup ultimately and took him back to surgery, which was a long surgery. You know, a lot of times after you've had multiple abdominal surgery, your bowels are just like concrete. It's stuck together. So it was a huge surgery and the surgery was a success. But what I didn't know and what the patient didn't tell me, I got called late one night that he had more bowel juice, you know, coming out of his incision, which was, you know, for me, just like I'm hitting myself over the head, beating myself, like, what did I do wrong? And when I kind of walked in the room, this was in the middle of the night, it was quiet, and he was taking a pocket knife and cutting the stitches out of his belly. The man had caused his own, I mean, talk about, you know, you know, talk about, man, faking me out big time. And so, you know, ultimately the guy did fine. We got him better and got him out. But he did that because he wanted more pain medicines. You know, and I'll tell you, it's a big topic right now because all the prescription drug problems.
Yep.
And, you know, we have people that are addicted to prescription drugs and it's a challenge. You know, I'm sometimes faced with the other type of challenge. Now the government won't allow me to give pain medications to patients who really need it.
Yeah.
And you know, I'm stuck in that kind of middle. But, man, it's just a mess that people can hurt themselves. I think about the story. I think when Jesus was at the pool of Bethesda and there was the man who had been on the ground and he was going to jump in the pool, you know, the water started and everybody jumped in and Jesus said to him, do you want to be healed?
Yeah.
It's a good question.
Amen.
And I think we need to ask ourselves that. So often we just reflex ask God to heal us, but really why does God heal? You know, sometimes we like having our name on the prayer list at church. We like the attention.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes there's those secondary things that we gain from being sick. And, you know, when we ask God to heal us, I mean, there's a lot more to that. You know, God, you know, I really believe the prayer that God honors is the one that honors him, you know? Amen. And so we really have to think about, man, how is this going to, well, how's my life going to change? And what am I going to do with this if God does choose to heal? So often we don't think about that as we're praying. We're thinking about getting out of our bad situation. You know, we can think about getting out of our pain and our illness instead of thinking about, okay, how can I use this to glorify God? You know, I mean, you know, God is greater than we are. His ways are not our ways. And sometimes he chooses to deliver us. And sometimes he chooses just to take us through the most toughest circumstances to chisel away at us.
Amen.
Change us into his image and use us even in that crisis to be an example for other people. So
I had,
but I'll tell you, that guy really faked me out. And man, it really made me think, you know, about that. So,
You know, you talk about being addicted to pain medicine. You know, we talked briefly, you know, about my situation and I was on four different pain medications with three of them at the max dosage allowed by the FDA. If they had done another 10 milligrams or whatever, it'd be considered experimental and not covered by insurance, you know?
Yep.
And I was taking, you know, they said, well, stagger it throughout the day. Don't take them all at once. You know, so I was taking, you know, like every 6-7 hours, I'd take one of these things and 20 minutes later, I have to go take a nap. Right. And that's, it seemed like, you know, and the pain was still there. You know, it wasn't like, my body had built up where, you know, because that's why I went from 1 to 2 to, you know, all this stuff. And I remember the date is October 10th of last year, 2018. And I decided, you know what? I'm done with this. I'm not doing this anymore. And I quit all four cold turkey. It was the worst 4 days of my life, right? But I refused to give in. I did a lot of prayer. I wouldn't even sleep at night. If I did, it was like for 15 minutes or something. my wife had to wash the sheets every morning because I just sweated through them all night long.
You're going through withdrawals.
Yeah, absolutely. And as I say, it was the worst 4 days of my life. But I refused to give it just a lot of prayer. God, I'm not taking this. I'm not doing it anymore. And the fourth day, I'll never forget, we had a doctor's appointment scheduled. But it was just a routine, you know, come back in, see how you're doing type thing. And I must have looked rough because the doctor walked in and said, "What the hell happened to you?" And I told him what I was doing. He goes, "You did what? You're not supposed to do that." And I said, "I'm not taking this stuff." He goes, "I'm going to give you some medicine to help with it." "I don't want your medicine. I don't want it." He goes, No. Take this for 3 days. It'll help with the nausea and all that stuff. You know, I don't know what it was, but so I took it for two. And I haven't, you know, now that, you know, after the last surgery, I had the strongest thing I took was extra strength Tylenol. That's it. Mm. You know, I refuse to go down that road anymore. But I was hooked on it. Not as bad as inflicting pain on myself to get more.
You know, Bob, with all your stories, I need to put you in my book.
Hey, everyone. Pastor Bob here. We are all out of time for today's interview with Dr. Charles Page. This is such a great interview. I had such a great conversation with Dr. Page. He's an emergency room physician, author of the book, A Spoonful of Courage. Folks, you need to get this book. It is awesome. The stories in it are short, but they're inspiring, and each one makes you want to just continue on with the read. I mean, you just want to see what's the next story and the next story and the next story. I actually read through that whole book in probably about 45 minutes. I mean, it is just awesome, and I highly, highly recommend it. But more importantly, you got to come back tomorrow and the next day. This is such a great interview. It's going to be three parts with Dr. Page, and so you don't want to miss any of it, because we're just really starting to get into the good stuff with the next interview. Amen. So come back tomorrow. Till then, this is Pastor Bob with Dr. Charles Page telling you to be blessed in all that you do. Are you a Christian entrepreneur, coach, or author with a message that needs to be heard? Picture this: your voice reaching thousands, your story inspiring hearts, and your business flourishing like never before. Introducing Faithcasters, the ultimate platform that connects faith-driven professionals like you with the power of podcasting. Become a sought-after guest on faith-based podcasts. Share your unique insights and connect with like-minded individuals who share your passion for faith and entrepreneurship as well. Imagine your expertise reaching a wider audience, expanding your network, and propelling your business to new heights. Well, it's all within reach with Faithcasters. So don't wait. Take the first step today on your journey to greatness by visiting our website at faithcaster.org. That's faithcaster.org. Join the Faithcasters community now and unleash the full potential of your faith-driven enterprise. You do not want to miss this opportunity. Faithcasters, where faith meets podcasting and your dreams become reality. Visit faithcaster.org. Let's soar together. And remember, anyone can be a podcaster, but only a Christian can become a Faithcaster. Faithcasters, your voice, your platform, your success.